Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 16, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 17 through 27. Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go to the screen here. I've entitled this evening's message, "The God of Peace Will Crush Satan." The God of peace will crush Satan. Amen. So let's go and start with verse 17. And here we go. And it reads, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but rather their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." Okay, let's move on. Verse 20. "And the God of peace," here we go, "will crush" who? "Satan under your feet shortly." This is where I got the topic. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sospater, my countrymen, greet you. Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Amen. So let's start and break in this down. Let's go to verse 17. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them." Saints, let me just say this. Why did Paul say this? Note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Did you know that there are over 2,500 churches with different doctrines across our nation and around the world? And some will condemn you if you're not worshiping on Saturday. Some will condemn you for not wearing the right proper attire. So the list goes on. The list goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But what he was talking about here is more so the blood of Jesus being saved, sanctified, Jesus going to the cross, dying for your sins. And some of them were diluting it, candy coating it. You got to be careful. You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's some people in our ministry and many other ministries, they belong to two or three during the week. They don't want to be rooted under one umbrella and grow and be nurtured. They're out everywhere. And they're listening to things that sometimes could be contrary to what the pastor's teaching or preaching. Paul said it right here. He goes, mark them contrary to the doctrine which you've learned and avoid them. There's some that don't believe that Jesus is coming. There's some people that believe that it's still 100, 200, maybe 1,000 years that Jesus will come. And they won't talk about things in Revelation. They won't talk about Daniel the prophet. They won't do none of these things. Why? Because they want to enjoy their kingdom here on earth instead of the kingdom to come. Paul had not been to Rome, but he certainly realized that the ubiquitous false teachers would make their way there. They had he had a problem then, and there's a problem today. He urged believers to watch out for people who cause divisions by teaching things contrary to the truth. Look at this. I got scriptures to back this up. Look at this. 2 John 10 through 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the death, the burial, the resurrection, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. What? I'm telling you, there's some false teachers. False teachers. Some people believe that, oh, you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. What? That's the only name that'll save you. Look at Matthew 7:13. Why did Jesus say this? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Oh, did it say a lot will find it? Huh? A few will find it. And those are the ones that are obedient to God. Those are the ones that pray, that seek God's face, and they're willing to be instructed by the teaching of the Word of God and to share their faith and to let others know about Christ. And so there's some people that you just got to stay away from. Can I get amen? Especially their teachings. The severe problem of false teaching in some of the other churches Paul visited caused him to include this in the closing lines of his letter. For he knew it could certainly become a problem. It's a problem today. I remember we took a trip. Remember a couple of years ago, Yolanda and I. We're up in L.A. We went to this cafe, and then there it was right there by a boardwalk, and there was a whole bunch of people out there, and then there was this one church organization out there called the Yahweh people, and a majority of them had dreadlocks and they were black, and they tried to get into a debate with me. I said, oh, you guys are believers. But the first thing they said, do you worship on Saturday? I said, I worship Christ every day. I don't need to wait till Saturday. And I pointed out scriptures that they didn't want to listen to. And they were saying that we were lost. And you know what? Yolanda whispered in my ear, goes, honey, let's just go. You can't argue with folks that are dogmatic, especially if they're walking in false teaching. Because as soon as I mentioned the Holy Ghost, I go, have you received since you believed? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Speaking in tongues? Glorifying God? And they were just looking at me cross-eyed, like. So I knew, you know what? Just keep walking. Just keep walking. There was about maybe 15 of them out there in this booth. It was just Sister Yolanda and I. You know, it was like they ganged up. But I kept talking as I was leaving. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you would come into the saving knowledge of the truth. Amen. Let's move to verse 18. Look at this. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Man, I've seen some evangelists come and go. I've seen some false prophets. I've seen some things. I remember I was at this church. I won't share what the church is. I don't want to, because I know the pastor, and he's well meant. He's a good pastor, but he just had an evangelist there. He goes, if you sow $1,000, watch what God will do. I was so naive, but I was doing well in real estate at that time. It was like 2004. I ran home and got my checkbook and went over there. And blessed them. And then I felt like God was saying to me, you just got duped. It's not about that. And then God showed me later, man, watch out for these people. They're there for their own belly. Look at this. For those who are such do not deserve our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. Just imagine how many welfare recipients. Just give it all. And watch God bless you with a nice house. Come on, how many of you have been there, done that? How many of you heard those shenanigans? $100 lines, $50 lines, $20 lines here. And the empty pocket lines, sit down. Stay sitting down. See, they were more interested in serving their own personal interests, motivated by a desire to gain power and prestige. Some of them do that. In contrast, thanks to God, genuine Christian teachers are motivated by sincere faith and desire to do what is right. Both Paul and Peter condemned greedy, lying teachers totally. Look what was written in 1 Timothy 6 right up here. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which they come. What comes with that? Envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicions. All that come with that. Look at this in verse 5. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. I'm telling you. I heard it said, how many know who John Hagee is? I heard him said this one time, that he was visiting a church and the dresses had to be slightly below the ankle. And what he said, I couldn't stop laughing. He goes, but their tongues are longer than their dress. Because they'll be the first one to critique you, because you don't look like them. Whoo, man. Useless wranglings of men, corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Can I get an amen? Amen. We brought nothing to add to this world. When we leave this world, this dead body is going back to the dust. But hopefully our soul and spirit, hallelujah, will go right into the presence of God. Paul warned the Roman believers that when they listen to teachers, they should check the content of what it has said and not be fooled by smooth talk or glowing words. I've heard an evangelist say, the reason why you, Paul, because you don't give enough. Wow. Just imagine the one that have nothing, no more to give. But you haven't given enough. This is why you're like that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And they're going to stand before God. All the ones that they fleeced, they're going to stand before God and give an account to all that mess, all what they did, all how they fleeced. You pull up to some of those ministries, and you can see nothing but Cadillacs and and all kinds of nice $50,000+ cars. Jesus, help us. Many cult leaders have led Christians astray by teaching things that sound like truth but are actually falsehoods. Christians, you and I who study God's word will not be fooled. Can I get amen? Listen, if you're in the book, you will be the people of the book. And you will know. By studying the word of God, it's like this. When people are trained to be cashiers, like at Walmart, you know what they teach you and you study it? The real dollar, the real $5, the real $10, the real $20. Why? They want you to study that. Because once you study what they look like, you'll know the counterfeit when it comes. They don't show you counterfeits because it'll throw you off. But they show you the real stuff. Well, the Word of God is the real thing. Can I get amen? When you know your word, you know when someone is trying to schmooze you and pull you in a whole different direction. So Christians who study God's word will not be fooled, even though superficial listeners may easily be taken in. Be careful. Be careful. And there's examples of all these things. Look at this in Acts 17. Look at this. In Acts 17:10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were far-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women, as well as men. These became the Bereans. Remember the Bereans? Remember there was a bookstore called Berean? I missed that bookstore. That was one of my favorite bookstores there in Claremont, was the Berean. Berean bookstore. But what I loved about it is you could find many types of Bibles and things that would edify you, that would build you up. And it would expose false teaching. And this is why it's mentioned in here that if you study the Word of God, you will not be duped. You will know truth. Can I get amen? Let's move on to verse 19 of Romans 16. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Because evil lurks all around us. Did you know it lurks? It's in the shadows. You know, we talk about a shadow government. There is a real shadow government. Look who was running the past 4 years. It wasn't Biden. Who was running it? A shadow government. Calling all the shots. Opening the borders. Letting the woke have its way. Mutilating our youth. Funding these transgenders to have all these modifying things that they did to their body. And a lot of them are suffering right now. Did you know that a lot of them are committing suicide? Because you can't roll that back no more. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Paul quickly adds that he knows the Roman believers are not naive because their obedience to God is well known. Believers are to be wise in their understanding of what is good. That is what God wants them to do. On the reverse, though, saints, they are innocent about evil. So this is why you have to be on guard. This is why you have to know God's word. This is why you have to guard your heart. Can I get amen? Guard your heart, because evil lurks. Look what Philippians, what Paul wrote to the Philippians church in 2:14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of what? A crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's what God wants us to do, shine as lights, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. How many are so blessed to know that we're not running in vain? Our life matters. It's not about black, what do you call it? Black Lives Matters. Our existence matters. Our life matters to God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't look at color. He looks, are you born again? Are you my child? Have you received me? The Bible says God knows who are His. And we know His voice. Listen, we wouldn't be here tonight if we didn't hear the voice of God. That's God speaking to us. Because many of us are madly in love with Jesus. Can I get amen? And that's not going to quit until He comes. And then we see Him face to face, and we're going to really fall on our face before Him. And just cry, cry, cry. And the Bible says He's going to wipe away every tear. All that we went through on this earth, every turmoil, every hardship, everything that we had to carry, the things that we're doing right now, presently, serving one another, helping one another. A lot of times we want to throw in the towel and say, I can't do this no more. But God said, it's okay. I got your back. Wait till you see what I've prepared for you. Just hold on. Hold on a little longer. And it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. Verse 20 of Romans 16, look at this. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And he says, amen. So this language that he said was in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go there. Genesis 3:15. Look at this. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Look at that. So the woman is going to birth who? The Messiah. And what else is being birthed? Not just the Messiah. What else is being birthed in the future is the church. Because we're the only thing that can crush his head. We're the only entity around the world that can put our foot on his neck. We have the power to crush him. Woo! Man, God gave me this revelation that it's not just Jesus, it's the church. He says, I give you all power and authority over what? Scorpions and snakes. We should be walking around with anointing and power, and that whatever comes our way is not woe is me, is binding and rebuking and driving out that wickedness. We need to claim back what he has stolen from us. He has stolen some of our daughters and sons. He has stolen some things in our life that are precious to us. We need to take that back. And how do we take it back? We take it back by the power of the risen Christ. We got to rise up in faith and say, Satan, you are a liar and a father of them. And you start crying out, Hallelujah, for your loved ones that are lost. Some of us have friends and family members that struggle in their walk of life. We need to go lay hands. Hallelujah. Have the Holy Ghost come and deliver them. Can I get an amen? Amen. Woo! Jesus, help us, God. Help us, remind us who we are in Christ. Remind us that we have the power in us through the power of the Holy Spirit to move mountains. Hallelujah, for healing, for deliverance. We've got that power. God has given us that power, that authority. When I looked at this scripture, and I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Yeah, it was talking about Jesus, but it was also talking about the church. Because when Jesus went away, he says, I give you now all authority and power. And you're going to do more miracles than I ever did. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You see, saints, the false teachers, servants of Satan, would try to sow discord in the churches. But God is the God of all peace. Can I get amen? Amen. The false teachers will be destroyed when Christ establishes his peace upon his return. And when we are changed, we will be like him. Woo, finally, all that madness is going to go away. And for 1,000 years, we're going to live in harmony with one another and with nature itself. You could put your hand in a snake hole and it won't bite you. The wolf will lay down with the lamb. People got it wrong. Oh, the lion and the lamb. No, it's the Bible says the wolf will lay down with the lamb. And they'll be at harmony. Just imagine a wolf playing around with a little lamb. And not even worried about, I'm going to eat you in about 5 minutes. It's going to be all different. Look what I found in Revelation. Look at this. Revelation 20, 1 through 6. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Why 1,000 years? That's the millennial reign. This earth, since it was formed, other than, we don't know how long, Adam and Eve were in the garden before they were thrown out of the garden. We don't know. It could have been 1,000 years they were there. They could have been there 500 years. We don't know. But we do know this. When sin entered into the world, they were banished from the garden. And from that moment on, the earth has known nothing but turmoil, good and evil. And old Slewfoot has been here ever since, trying to destroy mankind. But look at this. 1,000 years, he's going to be cast away. Why? Because we're going to have perfect peace for 1,000 years on this planet. And this planet is going to, that's never known peace other than the Garden of Eden, is going to know it for 1,000 years. And we're going to be part of it. How many can't wait for that? Hold on. Slow your roll. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Look at this in verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. There it is. For 1,000 years. Listen, I've only been alive for 66 and a half years. Just imagine 1,000 years. We were talking to a couple in Nashville, and they were celebrating this one person who lived 106 years. And they're having a big parade for this person in their city. 106. That's a long time. They lived a whole century. Just imagine living for a century. But then they have to die. Right? They're just too old. We're going to live for 1,000 years and not even decay and age one day. We're going to be in our new body. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, that's going to be a blessing to be on this planet, not knowing peace like it's going to be. No wars, no rumors of wars. You don't have to worry about packing. You don't have to worry about evildoers. You don't have to lock your doors. You don't have to worry about people starving. God's going to feed us all. Wow. Look, he's going to be banished. So he cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast in his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads and on their heads, hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These were the tribulation saints. They didn't get raptured like us. So when God moves the church, there's still going to be humans here, and they're going to be just out of their mind when we're gone, because some of them are going to be our relatives. Some of them are going to be our friends. Some of them, they're going to know us very well that rejected Christ, and we are gone, and they're left behind. And some of them will fall on their face, but they have to give up their head. It's not going to be a period of grace no more, because they're going to be forced to take the mark of the beast. And if they don't take the mark of the beast, they won't be able to eat, and they'll just die. They won't be able to buy or sell. Just imagine a life without commerce. Our whole world is based on commerce, on money to buy food, money to live, money to buy medicine, money to have a shelter. Everything is commerce. And so when we're gone, the Antichrist will show his ugly head and will implement the mark. And the only ones that are going to make it to heaven, they refuse the mark. And if you refuse the mark, off goes your head. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Look at this, verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he. Look at this. Is he who has part in the first resurrection. We're the ones that are going to be blessed. We're going to be the first resurrection. Boom! We're going to be changed. And we're going to be like him. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God in Christ, and shall reign with them for 1,000 years. That's the church. That's us. And in order to be with us and with Christ, those in the tribulation period have to lose their head. So my question is this, if you're listening. Wouldn't you want to give your heart to Christ during a period of grace? Or why do you have to wait? Oh, I got time. Nah, I still got some partying to do. I don't want to quit this yet. Nah, I still love living with my girlfriend. We're going to find many excuses, and then it's going to happen. Bam! Just like the flood that came unexpectedly, Jesus is going to come and rapture us out of here. Wow. Wow. And so, let's move on to verse 21 of Romans 16. Look at this. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, Saucy Patter. I guess that's how you say that. Saucy Patter or Pater. My countrymen greet you. Timothy was a key person in the growth of the early church. He traveled with Paul on his second missionary journey. Look what we find in Acts 16 right here. But look at this. Acts 16, 1 through 3. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. But later Paul wrote two letters to 1 and 2 Timothy as Timothy worked to strengthen the churches in Ephesus. Timothy had a heart for the people. You know what I saw last Sunday? Some men that God is raising up. And I believe they have the heart for the ministry. They have the heart for God. And when you give a brother like that an opportunity to soar, and the ones that embrace it are going to fly with the eagles. Hallelujah! They're going to fly with the eagles. Nothing's able to contain them. God's going to give them wings to soar. Hallelujah. And if they come out Friday or this Sunday, I'm going to share what I more for them, or what God has put on my heart for them, that they would continue to use their gifts up here. Amen? And so pray for them, because I believe God's going to do something spectacular in their life. You never know. Ordain them as pastors down the road. The ones that are steadfast, that will become faithful, that will be yes to the Lord. Yes men to the Lord. Not yes men to the pastor. Yes men to the Lord. And watch God do some radical things in their life. So later Paul wrote those letters. And Timothy with Paul to prior's departure to Jerusalem. These other men are fellow Jews, not family relations. These people that he's mentioned here. In Acts 24, look at this. Acts 24. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also, Aristarchus and Secundus. Ooh, name your child that. And of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychius and Trophimus of Asia. Ooh, those are tongue twisters. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But you know what? These names are mentioned for a reason. God mentions these people's names. Why? Because they were servants. They had anointing on them. They loved God. Just imagine when you do things for the Lord, you're mentioned in heaven. I bet Jesus goes, look at my servant. Look at him now. How about when Satan tries to come and talk bad about you? He did to Job. First book. First few chapters in Job. God says, Satan, where are you going? What are you doing? I'm just going to and fro. Causing mischief. Big fee's gone. Metiche, that's what. Fee's gone, metiche. For those of you that are at home and don't not understand what I just said, just nosy. So let's move on to verse 22. Yeah, busybody. Verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Tertius was Paul's secretary who wrote the letter as Paul dictated it. He included his greetings. And his greetings were by hand. Look at this. Colossians 4:18 explains that. This greeting, Colossians 4:18, this greeting is in my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Wow. So now we're coming in for a soft landing here. We're coming in for a close in this beautiful book of Romans. We started this a couple of months ago, and now we're coming in for a close. So verse 23 of Romans 16. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, a brother. This is most likely not the same Gaius who was from Macedonia. Because as we see this in Acts 19, look at this. Acts 19, verse 29. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. So it could have been a different Gaius. And that has to be mentioned here. It was probably the Gaius whom Paul baptized in Corinth. For he baptized a gentleman. Paul, look at this right here in 1 Corinthians 1:14. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. So these are scriptures that we rarely read, but they are true events that took place. Not only did he lead them, but he baptized them. Praise God. See, he was a tremendous apostle. Paul. He'd set up churches. He would form ministries, instructed them. He was with them for a while, and then they ended up receiving what he instructed, and then he would leave and go somewhere else and form other ministries. Truly a man of God. So as the city treasurer, Erastus would have been a powerful and influential man. A civic official of this name is mentioned on the inscription of a marble paving block in Corinth. So if you ever go to Corinth, we went to Ephesus. Did you know that Ephesus is a real place? And it's in Turkey. And Sister Yolanda and I, we've been to Ephesus. And they dug up these ruins. And we were able to see the seven churches of Revelation. And we also saw where Satan sat. The seat of Satan. Wow. Revelation talks about that. Praise God. We're coming in for a close. Verse 24 of Romans 16. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then he says what? Amen. Paul had explained his gospel at length to this letter to the Roman saints. Paul's good news was the proclamation of Jesus Christ and his plan for the Gentiles. Paul knew, saints, that the gospel and Christ himself would make these believers strong in the faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the plan had been kept secret from the beginning of time. Look at verse 25 of Romans 16. Look at this. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Did you know that the gospel was a secret? Did you know before you got saved it was a mystery to you? It was a mystery to me. We grew up religious. I grew up in a religious home, so I knew nothing about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. All I knew is when I was 5 years old, I was in catechism, Sunday school, at a Catholic church, and I was being obnoxious in there. And all I seen out of nowhere was a ruler that came out of nowhere and whacked me on the back of my hand. It put a welt on me, and I said, I'll never come back there again. I hated the place. And I didn't go back. And by the grace of God, because my grandmother is the one that basically raised me, she didn't let me go back. Yes, thank God for Mama. I told her what they did, and I showed her, look what they did to me. I deserved it because I was, you know, being a chatterbox in there. But they didn't have to whack me like that. And they did that. They did that. Did I deserve it? Probably. And so the prophets who wrote various books of the Old Testament were not fully aware of the meaning of their own words. They wrote at God's command much about the fulfillment of the mystery, the coming of the Messiah, the salvation of the Gentiles, and the return of the Jews coming back to the land. All that was a mystery until our modern day. God has revealed these things to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And by watching Israel, because remember, Israel was barren. And in 1948, they became a nation in one day. And all the scriptures that pertain of their return has been fulfilled. That lets us know where the clock is right now. Jesus is about ready to come. I think there was a scripture in Psalms that when Zion would be built, the Messiah would come. And it's all built up. Did you know that they have probably one of the most strongest armies in the world other than us? They can battle with anybody right now. And their espionage could go into countries and cause havoc undercover. Look how many cell phones blew up. How they did that to all these evildoers. My goodness. So we're going to close with verse 26 and 27 of Romans 16. It says it right up here. But now has made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all the nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Verse 27. To God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ. And then he says, amen. And for that, saints, we must give God all the glory and honor to God for raising up Paul the Apostle to give us the book of Romans. Because if it wasn't for his obedience, many epistles wouldn't have been written. But he wrote many. He wrote Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. I believe many scholars believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. Even though they say maybe he didn't. He wrote to the Philippian church, to the Roman church, to the Colossian church, to Thessalonica. Thessalonian church. Wow. He was all over the place. And thank God for his obedience. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for concluding this tremendous, tremendous, tremendous book, the book of Romans. And we thank you, Lord, for the several months that we stayed in this book, line by line, precept upon precept, expository teaching, Lord, that you have given to the church. And Lord, I pray for the next book that would come up and we can expound it once again on our Wednesday nights. But I'm praying for maybe those who have been following, or maybe you just tuned in for the first time. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's always been here at Amazing Grace where we don't leave nothing left undone. Meaning, we're always going to give an invitation to receive Christ. Why? Because someone invited us. Someone shared the gospel with us. And so in return, we're always going to do that in return to give someone an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And if that's you, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can enjoy this wonderful and beautiful salvation that God has given us, the church of the living God. So pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Woo.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.